Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
And we are back where we belong. Still quarantined. But still showing up. And once again, I have to thank the loyal and devoted Reggie, our producer here, for showing up and hunkering down and social distancing. We still are feeling healthy and safe, so that's good to know. And that's why we're here today. So let's just continue to send off the good vibes of a good podcast, okay? Looks like those levels are doing good. Needles bouncing just where they should be. Okay, so let's do it. Mic is hot. There we go. Fix the screen there. I will say my three S's, and you will write down in the book episode 204, all right? You do your job, I'll do mine, and I'll meet you when we're done. Here we go. Star, smile, strong. Ready, Reg? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted here at WGNplus.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Whatever platform it is, we're there too. So don't forget to subscribe to that platform, rate this podcast. And if you can do Elton Jim a favor, by all means, tell your friends. Send them a link. Send them a message. Send them the message that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And if you like what you hear, don't forget, go to the WGNplus.com. Go to the podcast section. You will see a list of the podcast there, and simply click on Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. There you will find all previous 203 episodes, which can only mean one thing. You are about to listen to episode 204. How you feeling, all right? Still no temperature? Still no aches? Still no cough? Still breathing okay? That's good to hear. Hopefully you are, and hopefully the COVID-19 has not spread to anybody that you know in your family or your friends. It certainly is spreading around the country and around the world, but I'm happy to say, at least in my small circle, I haven't heard of anybody that I know directly related or close friends, so that's good. If you have been touched by it, you certainly know the seriousness of it, and you know how important it is for us to continue to social distance and to wash our hands and to just keep up with these implemented regimens that we have to adhere to in order to get past this. There is an end to this, but when is still up in the air, and despite some encouraging news in terms of the deaths that are occurring seem to be slowing down a bit in some of the hot spots, and yet new hot spots are cropping up around the country too. So we can't just claim victory too quickly, because then for whatever we've done for this last month or so will have been in vain. the halting of our world, of our routine, of our lives, of our economy, of so many things, putting so many people in difficult situations economically and personally, and even people losing their lives. It will all be for nothing if we come back too soon and we don't completely eradicate this, or at least find a way for us to stop the spreading, or at least the symptoms and hopefully the fatality of it, through some kind of medical therapies, medical treatments, or vaccine. So this still is in the long haul, but we're in it. And as I said it a couple podcasts ago, I know we have been living in a very impatient, short attention span world, but we have to change our thinking on a lot of things moving forward. And one of these is the immediate gratification that we've come to expect over the last 35 years or so. And so it's a learning time for all of us. And as I said, hey, World War II for the United States took more than 4 years of sacrifice and uncertainty. And that generation got through it. So it's time for us to buckle up, right? You know the story, but I think it's good to remind everyone that I think everybody goes through some kind of feeling that you're doing the right thing, and then there's those tempting times or those kind of depressing times where you say, oh, geez, if only I could just, call someone and get out and go out with someone. And I understand the temptation, but that is where the backbone comes in. We just have to buckle down. So, buckle down. And listen to this podcast. Hopefully we will be able to entertain you and pass along some information and make this quarantine somewhat bearable. That's our goal. Sadly, our goal at this point for all of us is to just make sure we get through it somehow, somewhat bearable. A couple of weeks wasn't too bad, but now we're in over a month, and most likely some of those restraints and those quarantines and those shelters in place are going to continue for at least another month or so. And it's going to be easily into the summer when we can legitimately and responsibly begin to open up our society. So just face the realities. I know public officials are trying to ease the pain and dishing these things out in little pieces, the kind of piecemeal thing. But as I've said in previous podcasts, sometimes reality helps you cope better. If you know it, you deal with it. You may be depressed, you may be angered, but then you deal with it and you move on, and that might be better than these constant little deadlines that come and go and don't mean anything. But anyway, so one of the byproducts of the quarantine and being in your home for so long on a daily basis, and more people in the home on a more regular basis, is that things around the house are being used more than usual. And the opportunity for things around the house, therefore, to either be broken or misfunction or break, I mean, whatever it is, those odds are higher. And this is exactly the time that you don't want anything to break down, because we've got perhaps a shortage of people that are available to fix something. A lot of those services and those companies are shut down. Or if they aren't, they're in great demand, and it's not as easy to just call a handyman or repairman to come out the next day, because they might be having shorter hours, or there just might not be as many even working or available. Secondly, there's the idea of a stranger coming into your home. It defeats the entire purpose and goal of social distancing, which is to stay home and stay locked up for the most part and only leave the home when essentially you have to for groceries or, you know, medications you may need, but the, you know, your daily walk and things like that. But certainly the idea of a workman or an outside person that you don't know is a little fearful of letting a stranger in your home who may or may not have the virus. And a lot of us don't even know if we have it or not. I haven't been tested. I haven't been sick. I haven't had any of the symptoms, but that's not to say that I haven't had it and got over it. Who knows? So the idea of not only, you know, opening the door to a stranger, but wondering then after they leave, well, now what? Do I fumigate my home? At the same time, this may be a major thing I need fixed. So the goal is to, hopefully just, walk around your home gingerly and make sure that nothing breaks seriously that you can't do without, because it may be difficult to get it fixed, right? So that's our hope. The hope is that, we can stay quarantined here and everything goes as planned until this is over with. You're certainly not going to make any renovations. I know a lot of people have been painting their home. I see that going on. I see some neighbors building gardens. I mean, people are keeping busy, which is nice. But you certainly don't want any of the major standbys in your home to break down. But as I said many times, I feel like Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And it's only my wife and me in the house. So it's not like we have kids running around where, certainly those, make the odds higher that things may break. And yet, since February, we have had a few occasions where, and I've talked about this in the past, I really am not good at fixing things. I don't putter. I don't know how to fix a car. I don't know how to fix electrical things. My phrase is call the guy, call the man. And while that can be expensive, at least I have a peace of mind when the man comes to fix everything. I have to pay a little more. I understand it'd be great if I knew how to do these things. I could save a lot of money. I completely understand that. But I just seem to don't have the aptitude. And at this point in my life, I don't think I'm going to sit down and start reading books or watching YouTube. Or am I? Which is part of our story. But of course, in the wah, 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 sometimes world of an Elton Jim, we have had an interesting string of things happening here where in a quarantine, I mean, these things probably wouldn't even make a big deal. They would just be normal, kind of ordinary things, the price of doing business, right? But now in a quarantine, they just take on, they just take on a bigger part of the grand scheme here. Even though the quarantine really didn't start and the shelter in place orders didn't start until around mid-May, around May 12th, I did mark that in my calendar. I think everybody should do that. If you have some device, I of course have, as I've mentioned, I have my daily planner. Now, sadly, the 2020 daily planner, which was filled with a lot of cool things, for the coming 2020 year, sadly now has a lot of things circled or has things crossed out that says canceled or postponed. Even now, in mid-April, I've had at least four or five things canceled. Concerts, trips. Sadly, my wife and I are celebrating a milestone, a very important anniversary date this year. We had a really fun trip, exotic trip to a faraway land planned to celebrate this special occasion. And we would be there right now. Right now, we would be there. And instead, not. I would have, if all things had been equal, I would have by now attended my 200th Elton John concert. Instead, not. So, and there's more things to go through the year, sadly. And we'll see if any of these get rescheduled. Hopefully they will. I always say at the beginning of the year, it's up to us to fill that new blank page, that new year, that new blank page of our lives with as many memories as we can. And I was sticking to my own advice, but back in January, never could have expected this. No one saw this coming. So yeah, the daily planner has a lot of X marks on things and sad faces on it. But do go back, because we're in history here. So go back to whatever you use as your schedule, your planner. If you have something hard copy, if you have something digitally, I like to think that March 12th was the day that everything started to close. I believe it was March 11th when the NBA announced it was shutting down because one of its players tested positive. And then once the NBA decided to shut down, then everything started going. Other sports teams, other sports leagues, and other big events and things like that. Within the next couple of days, the dominoes started to fall. But mark that down on your calendars, March 12th. I think that's a good enough day. But we should remember it because this is history. We are living history. But long before that March 12th date, we had our first mini emergency. And this is one where you can't fix it yourself. Our hot water heater was about 18 years old. Now, when it was installed, the installer wrote down, right on it with a marker, the date he put it in, which is nice just to get a gauge, because these things usually last about 10 or 15 years, they say, And so it was so funny because in the winter, in the summer, I was down in the basement near the hot water heater. And it's so funny how time really does fly by. It certainly doesn't seem like he just put it in, but I looked at the date that was with the marker on the side of the tank, and it was April 2002. And I was like, wow, that was 18 years ago that we put that in. I couldn't believe it. And so after I was amazed, then I was a little afraid, because most of the hot water heaters that I've been told that last maybe 10 years, and if you're lucky, 15. Well, now I'm going on 18. So I was a little leery, but those hot water heaters are something that unfortunately, I, in this day and age, I don't understand why there can't be some kind of a signal to say, hey, this isn't working properly. There's something wrong, right? We've got gauges and monitors and everything. Why does the hot water heater remain just this mystery? For the most part, you don't know your hot water heater is breaking down or is broken until it leaks. Then you realize something's wrong. And meanwhile, there's water damage, or there's at least water. And that's how you learn that your water heater is malfunctioning. It's probably time to get a new one. So in the back of my mind, after seeing the 2002 date, I did have in the back of my mind that, yeah, but at the same time, maybe we got lucky. Maybe we have another 2 years, right? These things aren't cheap, especially when you have to have them installed. I don't know how to install it, so if this happens, I got to call the guy. So, you know, between the price of the hot water heater and the labor, you know, that's going to be close to $1,000. Do you want to spend $1,000 on that? Or do you say, well, maybe I've got another 2 years? So you hold out and you keep your fingers crossed. Well, in early February, and this was kind of funny, my wife and I went out in the afternoon one day, and I came downstairs in the basement to get something, to check on something. And, you know, fine, no problem. About 4 hours later, we came back, and there was no weather, there was no rain, nothing was going on. And my wife came down to the basement and goes, whoa, we've got some water in the basement. I'm like, what are you talking about? From where? From what? There's no, is there a pipe spraying? I mean, what are you talking about? He's like, no, but, you know, thankfully we don't have a finished basement. It's a more of a utility basement. So nothing was damaged, but we certainly had some water. And so being the Columbo that I am, we've got kind of, you know, I don't know what kind of, I think it's not tile, but, you know, we've got little squares on the floor. It's not wood. And I just traced the stream from where the water was congregating in the kind of the round part, the lower part of the basement. And it wasn't a ton of water, but there was a little puddle there. But I traced the line as to how the water got over there, and sure enough, it came from the hot water heater. So, okay, call the guy. And he came a couple of days later, and it was time to put away the old one and bring in the new one. Fine. So, okay. Paid, you know, a major expense, but what are you going to do? You have to do it, right? It's a hot water heater. You need hot water. So it's one of those expenses of the house. It's part of the, you know, it's part of the price you pay for owning your own home. So that wasn't officially a quarantine matter, but it just goes to show what sort of, it started the dominoes falling, though, it seemed. So now we are in the shutdown, right? Now it's like March, you know, 20th. So things are just beginning to percolate, and the numbers are rising, and we're getting used to this, and we're a little uncertain as to the way things are spread, and we're being told to wash our hands and not touch our face, and you know, wear a mask if you wanted to. At that time, it was more of kind of like a precautionary thing, not as much as a necessary thing like it is now to some extent. So it was right at the beginning where there was a lot of uncertainty, and we're still finding out and what this disease is all about, you know, and we're right in the midst of all the crazy, you know, panic buying at the grocery store and things like that. And so, I turned the light on in our bathroom, and it goes off. Our light in the bathroom is basically, well, there's two lights. There's one in the shower, and there's one in the vanity. Now, there should be two light bulbs in the vanity, but even for when we moved in, one of those light bulbs didn't work. And it's one of those things, once again, I don't know how to fix electrical stuff. So I never really paid attention, and the one light bulb seemed to be enough. So we always had one light bulb, which you're always playing with fire when you only have one thing working, right? So I turn the light switch on, and the light bulb goes out. Now that I can do. I don't have to call the guy to fix a light bulb. As I mentioned in earlier podcasts, I like to be prepared. I have a whole box of light bulbs that I just have. So if we have a light bulb that burns out, I don't have to say, "Whoa, we have no light bulbs. Got to go to the store." Nope, I go right down to my light bulb box. And I've got three ways and 60 watters and 75 watters and 40 watters. Yes, I am still an incandescent light bulb fan. You should know that if you listen to me. I'm still old school. I know everybody has the LEDs and those weird curly ones that supposedly last longer. Those don't look like light bulbs to me. It's getting harder and harder for me to find my incandescent light bulbs, but I do find them. And when I do, I stock up. And I'm probably the only guy keeping them in business. But I have a very good supply of incandescent light bulbs, the good old soft whites, if you will. So I can change a light bulb. That I am very well versed in. So now, of course, we have an older home. Our vanity is an older, it's vintage. If something's old, you don't call it old anymore. You call it vintage. It's a vintage vanity in our bathroom. And I don't know who designs these things. But basically, the light, there's these two minuscule screws that if they're a quarter inch long, that's long. I don't know who invented this screw. And why you would put such a small screw in something in a bathroom, especially over a sink? Because let's face it, you know, if you're to change this, you're going to have to change this light bulb at some time, which means you're going to have to undo this screw. And the screw is so small, the head of it is so small. It's the length, as I said, if it's a quarter inch, maybe. So inevitably, I always drop it because I've got sausage fingers, so I can't get any grip. When I change that light bulb, because the light bulb obviously is above the sink, I have to, you know, put the stopper down in the sink because inevitably the screw is going to fall, and I actually hope it falls at least into the sink because I can find it. Because then, if not, it's on the floor. And then you have to go and start to send the search party out for this ridiculously small screw. Because if you ever lost this screw, I don't even know how I would ever be able to replace it. I don't think they even make this kind of screw anymore since it's so small and so silly. And because the vanity is vintage, I don't even know if I'd be able to even, you know, buy this screw anymore. But anyway, I unscrew the thing and I change the light bulb. And within three times to turn it on, that new light bulb burns out. And my wife is up there, says, "Hey, you know, the light bulb just burned out again." I'm like, "Wait, I just put it in." So I look at it like I'm looking at it like I know what I'm doing, right? Exactly. I looked at a light bulb. I turned it to make sure it was snugly in the in the outlet, but what more do I know about why this isn't working? So I put another one in, and that one went out. So clearly, and then my wife said, "Wait, I just saw a spark." So I'm like, "Oh, geez, a spark." I have learned one thing. When you're dealing with electricity, sparks are not good. I may not know what I'm doing, but I know the trouble signs, and I think, in my experience, that sparks are never good. So, in the midst of the beginning of this shelter in place, this, you know, quarantine, now I have to, what's my three-letter phrase, call the guy. So now there is a little anxiety on this. Geez, you know, first of all, A, am I going to be able to find electricians? Are they even open? Because everything was closing at a record speed within a week. And if they were open, you know, what's the protocol here of letting in a stranger? Is this, do we feel comfortable? We have to weigh the pluses and minuses of, do we let a stranger in who we don't know, if they have the COVID-19 or not? It breaks all the quarantine rules, but at the same time, we have no light in our bathroom. And, you know, we're using a flashlight. I got a lamp in there. And the light in the shower is certainly not bright enough to see in the mirror for shaving and every other things, you know. So, and then who knows how long this is going to last? I mean, look, here it is, over a month. So we decided we've got to call the guy. We've got to do it. The risk was worth it. So thankfully, I found an electrician that was available. And so he came out, and he was, even at this early stage, he had a mask on, he had the boots on, you know, and he had gloves on. And he came in, and I kept my 6 foot distance, and it wasn't a major job, although it was, because this vanity was such an old, I shouldn't say old. It was a vintage vanity. To replace the two outlets, he couldn't find them right away. So it took him like 40 minutes to go to several different places, and he finally found them. The actual time to fix it was 10 minutes. Easy job for an electrician. He probably was like, oh, this is an easy one. But of course, the hunting for the parts took more time. But the good part of the situation was, not only did we fix the old one the new one that was blowing out, but we did fix the old one that never worked. We've been in this house for over 20 years, and we just never had that one fixed. I don't know why I never did. We've had electricians come in the past. I could have just said, hey, could you take a look at that? But I probably didn't want to unscrew the thing because those damn screws were so small. But anyway, so now, wow, two light bulbs in the vanity for the first time in 20 years. That bathroom is lit up like a Christmas tree. Now, sadly, you're starting to see the other side of your face for the first time. Sometimes too much light could be bad. We had a nice kind of dimmed light thing going there. So I think my wife and I were actually pretty happy with the way we looked in the mirror. Now a little more of reality has set in. I don't know who that guy is anymore. But anyway, so it was a little stressful to let someone in. And once again, not cheap. You know, for any kind of handyman to come out these days, it's like $100 and some just to come out and then to do the job itself. So, you know, in a time when you're trying to, you know, keep expenses down, you know, this was unexpected, but essential, right? So within a month, we've got new water heater and an electrician comes to fix the light bulb. So finally, I'm like, okay, well, hopefully, you know, that's done. So we have two cars. We lease cars. And we're going to downsize our cars. My wife's driving situation will be changing. We don't really seem to need two cars as much as we maybe used to. And we'll see. But for the time being, it's like, you know, I mean, my wife's work situation, she's going to be in a different location, so she might not need to drive. So we're like, you know what? When the lease on one of the cars goes, we're just going to let it run out. And we'll try for a while to see if we can get by with one car. And we most likely will, because my wife's mileage really isn't all that much. So the lease of the car ends in May. Well, if anybody's leased their car, you know that if you're going to let the lease run out, before you can turn the car in, before the lease expires, you have to have the car inspected. An inspector has to come out and look at the car. So, what does that mean? Another stranger has to come to the house, not in the house this time, but another stranger has to come now and inspect something that you use on a daily basis. And we've been told that the coronavirus, while most effectively in terms of the spreading, is, you know, from human contact, the droplets, right? We've heard the word droplets now more than we've ever heard in our lives, in terms of, you know, a sneeze or saliva and getting in through your nose or your eyes or your mouth. But still, we've been told that the coronavirus can live on objects, and so we should always disinfect things to make sure that it doesn't pass, get on our hands. So now, once again, another stranger coming into our tightly quarantined little bubble of a world here and touching something that, you know, inspecting the car. And while for the most part, you know, you can inspect it visually, you do have to, the inspector does have to touch certain things, has to look under the hood and get in and open a door and open the trunk and touch things, right? So once again, in early April, another outsider enters our, up to this point, you know, germ-free world, so more anxiety. Not crazy anxiety, but still, you know, here we go again. Going to bring in another stranger into the mix. So the, now, he, and but to his credit, you know, he called before and he said, look, they don't really want us to have any contact. You know, please have the car outside, have the key, you know, have the door open, have the keys there, you know, under the, you know, in the visor. I will inspect the car. You don't need to be there at all. You know, you don't need to come out. I'll just come out. You can watch me do it, you know, if you want. And then I will, you know, leave my inspection in the car. And this way there's no contact. And, you know, but at the same time, there's still somebody walking around. And yes, he had gloves on again, you know, didn't have a mask on, but he did have gloves. But still, so I went out and watched what was going on and talked to the guy, but I was well past the 6-foot social distance requirement. But I was, and the reason I was watching was I was basically there not to worry about what he was doing. I was watching to see what he was touching. Because in my mind, when he leaves, I'm going out there with my Clorox wipes and touching and cleaning all the spots that he touched, gloves or not, because he was talking, so who knows, right? So, you know, he was there for about 20 minutes taking pictures, but he did have to, you know, open the hood, so he had to touch the hood. He had to touch the little mechanism to open the hood. He had to go into the car, so he had to open up the latch to open the door from the outside. He had to look in the glove compartment, so he opened the glove compartment thing. He touched the steering wheel. He had to look in the trunk and touch that and look at the spare and everything. So, I mean, I literally was writing stuff down. When I saw him touch something, I made my own checklist of what he touched. Maybe that was in keeping with my anal retentive ways, But I figured that's the only way. I'm not going to go by memory here because who knows? I mean, this guy's going all around, going to everybody's car. I don't know what he, you know, once, you know, the way this thing spreads, he may not have it, or he might, you know, but he may catch it from somewhere. He may have just caught it the time before, the job before mine, right? So I made my little checklist, and he checked the car over. He left, and as soon as he left, I went out there with my Clorox wipes, and I told you many times, there's nothing more that I like than a list. I love to make a list, and more than I love making the list, I love to check things off that list. So I had my list, and I went to all the areas that he touched, and I Cloroxed them all, and hopefully that worked. That was earlier this month, and so far so good. So we hopefully dodged another bullet. This one didn't cost anything, at least. The water heater and the electrical, that cost money. This didn't cost anything. So now everything seems to be okay. And, you know, like I said, in these times, you just want to keep as many of your expenses down as possible because you just never know what's going to happen and how long this is going to last. So for the most part, my wife and I are staying around the house like we should and not going anywhere, going out, you know, to the grocery store, going out for some walks and going out to the yard and, you know, doing some work there and, you know, just getting some fresh air. But for the most part, we are maintaining a quarantined social distance existence the way that we have been told. And aside from going out for the essentials, it has worked for us at least. But once again, you're walking around the house and you're going to use stuff more than you did before because you're home more. So, I mean, this one really was hilarious. So just the other day, like 3 days ago, we have a recliner chair. Now, I would assume it's about 10 years old, right? And it's still in good shape for the most part. You know, it's gone through some regular wear and tear. It doesn't as smoothly recline as it used to. And there's some areas there you could see, like where you sit more often, some of the padding is a little, you know, indented in terms of, you know, you see your sitting patterns. But for the most part, it's a very nice chair. And it's certainly, there's no need at this time to replace this chair. You know, it's not a burning issue just to replace this chair. If you even wanted to. Maybe somewhere down the line in a couple years it might be time. But certainly not in a quarantine. Replacing your recliner, I don't think if I went to the governor here in Illinois, Governor Pritzker, and said, could you tell me if reclining chair replacement falls under essentials? I don't think he'd say yes. Go ahead. Right? I mean, who knows? A, what stores are open? B, if you order it online, you know, what factories or, you know, or warehouses are open? And, you know, a chair is something I think that you want to sit in. You can buy a chair online, a reclining chair, but a reclining chair, I think, is all about comfort, right? It's about look and it's about comfort. And that is different for everybody. You know, when you go to somebody's house and you sit in a chair or in their furniture, on their couch, and sometimes you go, wow, how the heck do they sit in that? And they go, oh, I love my couch. So everybody's feel for comfort is different. And even though a chair may look nice, it might not just fit you right or feel comfortable for you. So I think a chair is something that you do have to tactile, you know, touch and sit in and feel. You can't just, you know, go online and buy it. So where are you going to do that today? If you had to. And why would you, right? If you're going to change your couches or your furniture, I would think that you would wait until the quarantine is over. At the same time, your home is, you know, this is your spot here. This is where you are spending almost all your time. And certainly, you know, comfort is about all we have to go with right now, is being comfortable, because we're just sitting at home for the most part. So the recliner and the couch, I would think, in most homes, and the bed, are majorly important to survive this, because they do provide some physical as well as emotional comfort. So you want, if you've got a recliner and you're used to sitting in that recliner, at least I've got my chair and I've got the crank on the side, and you crank it and up comes that little footrest, and at least for a couple hours at night, life is good, right? So I believe it was Sunday night. You know, you're just sitting there watching television on a Sunday night, right? What are you going to do? Now, we've had this chair for at least 10 years, I would think. And, you know, you just go through the motions. And so it's, I'm getting up to go to the kitchen. And so I'm in the chair. It's reclined. The footrest is up. And I pull the crank. And, whoa, the crank just kind of slips out of my hand, and the footrest kind of goes down in a weird way. And I'm like, well, that's not good. And then I'm playing with the crank, and now it's stuck. And the footrest is kind of stuck halfway. It's kind of halfway up and halfway down. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Now what? You know, we had the light bulb, you know, and the hot water heater, and now the recliner breaks? I mean, of all the things that you'd expect not to break, or even not even think of or worry about, it's your reclining chair. But at the same time, the recliner is actually providing some of the only kind of relaxation that you can have in this situation. And plus, if you know me, you know, if something's broke, I always want to get it fixed. And especially in the way the recliner is right now, when it wouldn't go down, the idea of that recliner with the footrest kind of hanging halfway was driving me crazy. It wasn't all the way tucked in, and it wasn't all the way up. It was right in the middle. And that was bugging the hell out of me, because it wasn't the way it's supposed to be. So now, what do you do? Here's my first question. Who's the guy? I mean, who's the guy? Is there a recliner guy? I know there's an electrician. I know there's a plumber. I know there's a carpenter. I know there's a roofer. I know there's a painter. You know, is there a recliner guy? So, you know, and then have you ever turned over your recliner and looked underneath? Boy, there's a lot going on under there. There's a lot of mechanisms going on. You wouldn't think that the recliner looked as complex as it is, but and for all you know, it isn't. But wow, it looks like the inside of of some kind of big industrial machine. There are more levers and springs and cranks in there I never would have expected, because I've never turned over my recliner. I've never looked under the hood, if you will. And as I already told you before, when I look under the hood of a car, I don't know what's going on. So, I've checked oil in a car. I've done. And I can also, I don't want to brag, I can also change the window, the wiper fluid. I could put new wiper fluid in. So I'm not completely ignorant when it comes to car maintenance. When I go under the hood, I mean, I can certainly, I could fill the wiper fluid. So I'm not completely helpless there. And I have checked oil, but it's been many years. It's been decades since I've checked oil. And I will not even attempt to put jumper cables. I've been asked a few times, and I have them in my car. But that, that would be too scary for me. I don't know, from grounding and negatives and positives. And a lot of times I've seen people do that. And once again, as I said to you before, I've seen sparks happen. Sparks are usually never good. So that's to that extent. If you need somebody to fill your wiper fluid and you can't do it, call me. I'll be there in a second and won't drop. I won't spill a drop. But who do you call for your recliner? Because I'm going crazy because of the way it looks, kind of half baked. But B, I want to sit in my chair. We don't sit in it all the time, but it's a nice alternative to the couch. And, it's got the nice little footrest. So now it's not, you can sit in it, but it won't go down. It's hard to sit in it. And it's driving me crazy that it's not nice and neatly tucked in like it should be when it's not in use. So, amazingly, to my own mind, I decided I'm going to take a look under the hood, if you will. So I turn it over, and wow, like I said, I never expected all. It looked like just spaghetti in there. There was so much stuff going on, but I did see two things that were kind of laying there when I turned it over, which usually that's not a good sign either. When there's something, there's some parts that are laying there as opposed to being attached. That's how you know something's broken. I don't know a lot about fixing things, but I certainly know when things are broken. So I saw this little black plastic piece, and then the scariest thing is I saw a spring just laying somewhere, not hooked to anything. Now, when you see a spring not hooked to something, you know that there's a major problem. So we're sitting under there with the flashlight, and we're trying to figure out, and I'm looking, okay, what's the other side look like? And I could see, well, this piece goes here, but it's not going on, and it looks like it's kind of, even though it's plastic, it looks a little misshapen, so something must have snapped here. Wasn't broke, but it came off. Something forced it to come off. And then there's this spring, which a loose spring can't be good. So I'm very disgusted because, once again now, we've got something else broken in the middle of a quarantine. And it's not easily fixed, at least in my mind. And it's not easily replaced because, as I said, I think you have to try. You can't just, I don't want to buy a chair online. I want to sit in the chair. I want to see it in person, and I want to sit in it. And now I don't know how long this quarantine is going to last, and so this half-assed chair is going to drive me crazy now for the next 2 months. I've got to find a way to at least, if it doesn't work, fine. The reclining part, but at least let me get that footrest back down where it belongs so the chair at least looks fine. You can still sit in it. You can't recline in it, but at least you could use it as a sitting device and find an ottoman or something. We have an ottoman. So we could still use it, but at least it won't look half-assed. Plus, Grimsby the cat, of course, now is looking under there. She's never cared about that chair, but now there's some little new space, so she has to start to explore, and we don't want her to get stuck under there and get into the mechanisms of the chair. So we have to stuff it with pillows, so now that looks terrible. And I know nobody's seeing it except me and my wife, but it drives me crazy. I like everything where it's supposed to be. So this is very frustrating for me. So the next day, I mean, I hardly sleep. And I said, okay, I'm going to find a way. I have to find a way to at least get that footrest back in its other position, its sitting position. So the chair is just sitting there looking like a chair, not like a recliner. I have to get that done or it's going to drive me crazy. Because it was there from Sunday night through Monday morning, and I looked at it like, and it was driving me crazy. So once again, I flipped the chair over. And I have to say, as much as I talk about technology, I don't know why I didn't think of this right away, because it's really not my first instinct. My first instinct, as it has been from a very young man, is to call the guy, right? It's broke, call the guy. A, I don't know who the guy is to fix a recliner. B, who am I going to find one? And then we're going to bring another person in the house for another house call. He's probably going to fix it in 2 seconds, and it's going to be another, $300, boom. So, I mean, this is something that can wait, but at the same time, getting a new one can wait, because we have to get a new one. It's broke, and it's part of your daily furniture. You want to sit in it, recline, or someone comes over. Oh, don't you love when you have to, or you go to someone's house? Oh, don't sit on that chair. So, and now I know we have to replace the chair. It's just a question of when and how. Whenever this is done. So for the next 2 months or so, we might just have this broken chair. But at the very least, I want the footrest in. So I flip over the chair again, and I get that little black piece with me and my infamous spring. And I'm saying, how the heck does this work? I'm looking at the one side, and I got a feeling, but it's not. This black piece is not fitting on, so clearly it's bent. But I'm like, where the hell does this spring go? Because there's not a spring on the other side. There's two connections on each side of that footrest, but there's only one spring, and there's not another one that's connected for me to look to see. And then it hits me. The light bulb goes on. That same incandescent light bulb that I have had, so many of them, I also have one over my head at times. I have some in the box in the basement. And the reason why I stay with the incandescent light is because when a light bulb goes on over my head for an idea, it's never an LED, and it's never one of those long-lasting curly Q ones. It's always a nice, soft, 60-watt, soft white incandescent. So that's why I stay with it. So the soft white 60-watt incandescent goes over my head, and I say, wait a minute. Why don't I go on YouTube? Maybe there is an instructional video about the inner workings of a recliner. Well, I go on good old YouTube, and sure enough, there it is. There's this nice guy. He's clearly a repairman, a recliner repairman. Didn't know those existed, but he made a reference in his video about when I bring it into the shop. This guy's got a shop, a recliner, a fix-it recliner shop. Who ever heard of that? So he goes on and he starts pointing out the things and shows me what my piece is that I don't understand. It's the lock or something that allows the footrest to go, the chair to go in its three different positions, the halfway and the full type of thing, the movement of the footrest. So now at least I know what that piece is. And he said, sometimes these wear out and you got to replace them. So clearly I know that mine wore out because it's bent. It won't go back on. So now I'm saying, okay, I might be able to even salvage this and not even have to worry about getting a new chair right now at all. I could put this off just like I thought I could put off my hot water heater for a couple of years. But I have to figure out this spring. The spring, to me, I think, is a key. And he doesn't really mention the spring, but I see where the spring is connected on the video. And I go, wait a minute. I take the spring, I connect it to the way it looked in that chair on the video, and I go, I think I'm in business here. I put the chair on its side where I've got the crank in front of me, and I pull the crank, I get it back into the position, and lo and behold, the footrest goes back into place. Oh, a choir of angels. I hear a choir of angels. So at the very least, now it doesn't work. The footrest doesn't really stay up if you put any weight on it. So that's unfortunate. So we have to get a new chair, or I have to get this new piece. We'll see. And I'm going to have to go online to see if I can even, maybe I can just send away for it. But at least I was able to put the spring back and put the footrest in place. And the chair now is sitting in its regular spot. To the uninformed eye, if any of you come over, you'll know the chair doesn't work. But for anyone else who doesn't listen to this, and I'm not telling anybody, if they come over, there's our nice chair in the corner. And no one will know, and at least I know, that the chair looks fine and it looks the way it should look. And we'll deal with the broken piece, or we'll decide whether we get a new chair or not if that new piece doesn't work. But at least the chair looks and is work, it's in place. I have never felt so happy and so proud that I was actually able just to put this spring back on and get that thing back without breaking it or doing whatever. So see, I mean, I'm always used, maybe I'm underestimating myself. I've tried a few things. You know, I mean, I should even say, I mean, you know, I claim complete ignorance and inability, but at one time I actually installed a light fixture and it worked. Now, the only problem was that I couldn't believe that I did it right. I'm just very insecure when it comes to, you know, these kind of household things, because I've done some other things where, you know, I've done them kind of half-assed and someone has to come in and fix them. And so that's why I've just kind of thrown my hands up. But I did at one time actually install a light fixture with electricity involved, right? With all those wires, with green wires and black wires and white wires and yellow wires. And while it always worked, no problems, no sparks, no smoke, but I swear to God, until we replaced it again and had an electrician do it, when it was still my work, every time I turned a light switch on, I was expecting it to blow up. I had so much insecure anxiety. Every time I turned the kitchen light on, I was expecting a poof. But I was so proud, or at least satisfied for a moment within this quarantine of this times of uncertainty, I didn't have to call the guy, and I actually got my footrest to get back into place. I at least saved some money for the time being, but at least in a time when you don't want things to break down, and things seem to have been breaking down over in my house in the last month or so, this was so nice to go, good. I don't have to call the guy. I don't have to spend a lot of money. And I fixed it myself. So I guess if there's one bit of advice that I can pass along to you, the listener, during these times of uncertainty, during these times of shelter in place, during these times of quarantine, if you don't try to fix it, You never will fix it. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com or it appears wherever you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to that platform, rate this podcast, and please, by all means, tell your friends that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. If you are a regular listener, your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed episode 204. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. Wash your hands.